Tonight I felt to speak on faith, especially after what we just heard. How many know we need faith? We need a good injection of good old-fashioned Holy Ghost faith to believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. It's a little hard right now to believe that, given the climate, especially the political climate. I don't know if a lot of people left their brains hanging with their underwear. You know, they're voting for Trump in different states. I mean, I guess he won by a landslide last couple votes that he's had. And so, given the political climate, but I believe God can do tremendous things in spite of what's happening in a little place called Washington, D.C., because the kingdom of God is strong. Amen? And so, I want to talk about developing spiritual faith. And you might say, well, you know what? I've been a Christian a long time, and I've been walking in faith. Thank you very much. Well, I'm not assuming anything tonight. I'm not assuming that you're a great person of faith or not a great person of faith. I see my calling and my job is to remind us of a lot of things. So if you're already there, this is just rehearsal for you, or you're going back over it. Please bear with me. Okay, can you do that tonight? And I'd like to talk about the faith, and I'd like to think that the kind of faith that I'm talking about tonight is extreme faith. It's large faith. It's releasing what we can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not very much faith if we've already had it here, like, I have faith that I'm going to go to church. Well, here you are. I mean, but we need faith to believe God's going to turn this country around us. So let's get started tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this subject tonight. God, I ask, I'm just coming with trepidation tonight. God, I need your help, Holy Spirit, just to encapsulate what you want to say to us tonight in a edible manner, in a short time. Father, I know that I could chase rabbits all night and get into this subject, but Father, I pray that you'd focus us on your word, God, that we'd somehow leave here differently than we came. And Lord, apply the application of faith that would bring great results in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, faith comes through the unity of the Word and the Spirit. Someone said, if you have all Word and no Spirit, you dry up. If you have all Spirit and no Word, you blow up. So it takes the Spirit and the Word of God together, the Holy Spirit enacting, and as we apply the truths of God's Word, it begins to happen in our life. And we could all make a list of stuff where we've applied faith in certain areas, and it's just as easy as pie. In other areas, we just need help from God. But how many know God gives each one a measure of faith, and then He keeps growing it as we're faithful to read His Word and apply. The application of faith brings the results that we're looking for. So faith is not grounded in human decision, but God's action. See, no matter what we decide, faith enacts God's promises and applies them to our life. God reaches out to man with His initiative to bring about the desired results. We just need to receive it. As God brings it, we need to receive it. God's grace is the source, and man's faith is the human instrument. So we take what God gives us and we apply it. I'm going to say that a lot tonight. The application of faith is so very important. So to start out in your notes, faith contains three elements. The first element is knowledge. How many know if we don't know, we won't get a result? Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17 says. And hearing by what? So reading a good book, I'm all for reading books. I'm all for reading some sermons. I'm all for hearing, I do a lot of study, but faith is as a result of the Word of God. There's nothing like the Word of God. I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about hiding in my heart and speaking God's Word. It releases something, and I'm able to apply His truth and get something back from it. Faith comes by hearing the message and appropriating God's promises to the situation. You know, as I pray for my son, I've been praying for my son a lot, and so I'm picturing him serving God. I'm getting visions of him serving the Lord. I had a friend of mine years ago. She was in prayer, and her son was about as far away from God as you could get. He was in jail, as a matter of fact. And she said she got a vision of him walking down the sidewalk with a Bible under his arm, walking for his van, because he drove a van. And so she shared that with me, and she said, "Will you pray with me?" And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. And he turned his life around, got saved, and or recommitted his life. And she came to me one day and she said, "You know what? Jay left the house today, walked down the sidewalk, the vision God gave me 3 years ago. There he is, right down the sidewalk." But she had the vision and prayed for the vision of that thing. She said, "It's going to come to pass," and it did. So we have to have knowledge of God's Word. If God says that me and my household will be saved, that's faith. Applying that now and seeing that come to fruition, by golly, it's going to come. In Jesus' name. Number two is assent. We must believe what God is saying and act on it. It's not enough to say, "Yes, I believe God's Word." Now we apply it, appropriate God's promises. We make application, so we're mentally assenting to God's Word and spiritually assenting to God's Word and apply it. And then number three, so knowledge is number one. Number two is assent. Number three is trust. This is a critical element in the process of faith. I was going to show a video tonight. I didn't get around to it. But if you go home and Google China's glass bridge, do that. How many have seen that posted anywhere? China's glass bridge is 3 football lengths long across the gorge. It's like a mile deep, and it's glass, and you see people crawling on it, holding on to guardrails, and some people with their eyes closed and being led across this bridge, the only way to get across. That's the application of trust, because sometimes, most of the time when you're moving in faith, God doesn't give you anything in the physical to think it's going to come to pass. It's like walking on a glass bridge, looking a mile down and thinking, "I'm going to fall. There's nothing there but a pane of glass." And you're looking at the gorge. I don't know. I couldn't do that. I don't know. If you could do that, fine. I'd find another way to get over there. But that's the kind of faith that God is asking us to move in. When we don't see anything, we don't see anything, we apply God's Word to the anything, to the nothing, so it becomes anything. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so as we apply God's Word to what we know, we have to trust that He's going to have something there when we step out. A critical element is trust. So 7 steps to help in your development. And if you have your Bibles, you don't really need them for Romans 10:17. Most of us could quote that. Hear the Rhema word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the things that I do constantly when I read God's Word, because I've read passages over and over again, I say, "God, give me a fresh look at your Word." So it's Rhema to me. It's revelation to me. So it speaks to where I'm at. Come on, somebody. How many have ever read a passage of Scripture and it applies somewhere where you never could see it before? That's Rhema. See? When God lights that thing up for the situation you're in, that's the best thing to apply to it. You had a question? R-H-E-M-A. You'll see it in your notes. There's other places that should be. R-H-E-M-A. So, hearing the Rhema. A, under that, Rhema is a word spoken by your spirit to, or by the Spirit to your spirit. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So how many know this is our lifeline right here? This word is our lifeline. We apply it, we make it applicable to our lives. It can be a fact. Rhema is a word spoken by us. It can be a fact. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians 1:3, "who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It could be a fact. The fact is, I'm blessed. Turn to somebody and say, "The fact is, I'm blessed." We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, that doesn't There's no ABC under that. It's not you're blessed unless you're going through a trial. You're blessed unless you're sick. No, you're blessed. No, we're blessed all the time at every place. That's a fact. That's what the Word of God says. Not only a fact, it can be, it's a promise. It's a promise. 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what's the promise say? The promise says that we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, it may not seem like that. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I don't feel so divine. Am I the only one? I don't feel very divine. But I am partaking of the divine nature of God because He loves me. Just because He loves me, He's my Father, He's providing for me. So not only can it be a fact, it's a promise. Number three, it can be a prophecy. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. If you've not received the prophetic word, pray that you receive a prophetic word. A prophetic word is confirming what God's speaking to you. Saturday afternoon, April the 2nd, I think it is, when Nancy and Jeff are here, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to have a presbyter. And that's Nancy, Jeff, Terry, and I will be praying over each person that wants prayer, and you'll be receiving prophetic words from the Lord that afternoon, whatever that first weekend is. Is it April? Somebody look at a calendar. That first weekend of April. That Saturday, we're going to have a women's meeting and a men's meeting. But in the afternoon, we're going to have the laying on of hands, receiving a prophetic word. Some of the things that are happening in my life right now was prophesied over me in 1988. 1988, a prophetic word that made no sense to me. I was a young guy with kids and no money, and God spoke things to me at that time that's just now coming to pass. So it could be a prophecy. And Paul, when he's writing Timothy, he says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, wage the good warfare and make them come to pass. Just because you received a prophetic word doesn't mean it's going to happen without warfare, because the enemy heard it too. And the enemy is going to try to do everything he can so that doesn't come to pass. But you have the authority. He doesn't. Not only is it a fact and a promise and a prophecy, but also a vision or a dream. Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. That's a fact. Don't ever look at a dream as being intrusive. God will give you dreams and visions. Old guys, God will give us dreams. Thank you, Jesus. And visions and dreams, the church is built on visions and dreams. Come on, somebody. Peter was minding his own business on the roof. And the Lord dropped the, you remember, the sheet and the thing and the hoofs and the cattle. And he says, Lord, I haven't ate anything like that. And the Lord says, nothing's unclean. I want you to go. And he didn't have any idea. But through that vision, the Gentiles were reached. Well, through that vision, the Gentile church was built. And so how are we to think that God is not going to use visions and dreams in this last days? He's going to use them. He promises. As a matter of fact, He says He will. In the very birth of the church, He says it shall come to pass in the last days, encouraging us in the early church for this time right now. See? The Rhema creates hope. See? The Rhema creates hope, a seed of faith, a desire waiting to be fulfilled. When God gives us revelation, it gives us hope. Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were all cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It demands a response from us. When the Rhema word is given to us, revelation, God is asking us to respond. And we respond by receiving that word and applying it to our lives. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. You okay? Everybody all right? Rhema is a word spoken by the Spirit of God to your spirit. A promise, a vision, and a prophecy. Yeah. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. In verse 14, and the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Now, my friend, that's a rhema word. Abraham at the time had no kids, had no hope of having children, hadn't even been with Hagar yet, which is a big mistake. We're still paying for that mistake. Come on, somebody. And God said to him, you see this land? As far as you can look, as far as you can see in every other place, if you could number the sands of the sea, that's the granules of the sand, that's what your descendants will be. Now you tell me where you're at today, what you're believing for in your personal life, in your marriage. What is more impossible than that? If God could speak to Abraham and say, this is what I'm going to do, and it came to pass, where are your prayers? Where are your prayers? See, we apply, we take that truth right there and we apply it to our lives. God, if you could make Abraham the father of many nations when he couldn't even have children, man, this is easy stuff for you. What I'm believing for in my life is easy stuff for you. God, I release my faith to believe that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. Let God be true and every man a liar. Number two, desire the fulfillment of the rhema. Romans 4:18 says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And so it says right here that Abraham, he in hope he believed. As a matter of fact, somewhere else it says he believed and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. So, A, believe the rhema, affirm the facts. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And so, affirm what God says and apply it. And keep applying it. Use that refrigerator for more than a recipe. Put things on the refrigerator. Put them on the mirror where you shave and brush your teeth. Look at those promises of God. Make them applicable to your life and don't let them go till they come to pass. That's aggressive faith. It's not just coming up and praying and then forgetting about it and hoping that God will do it. It's knocking, it's seeking, it's looking after, it's finding. And God promises. Believe promises, number two. Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Test, prove, then hold fast to prophecies, visions, and dreams. Test them, make sure they're from God, and when you know they're from God, go for it. I'll tell you what, there testimony after testimony that we could go around the room tonight where when you apply God's truth, it comes to pass. The last thing in the world I ever thought I'd be doing as a man 28 years old was preaching God's Word. I couldn't speak to more than two or three people. I just was tongue-tied. The only way I could ever talk to anybody is if I was drunk or high. I'm just being serious. I just, I'd have a couple beers and I'd loosen up and say stupid things. But God called me to preach and I began to apply these truths to my life and saw them come to pass. He said, I've called you to preach. He said, at one point he said, I'll take you all over the world to preach. I had left about two states I went to at the time. All over the world? What are you talking about? Years later, he's proven that. He's proven himself. See, applying the word, test, make sure it's from God, proved and hold fast to prophecies. Listen, there's some of you tonight that God is bringing right now, bringing some promises that He gave you years ago that you need to apply right now to your life. It's foggy, it's dusty back there, but God is dusting off the words that He gave you years ago, and it's becoming rhema tonight to your face. Because God is calling you to do it, see? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." 2 Chronicles 20:20. "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in His prophets, and you shall prosper.'" Don't ever despise a prophetic word unless it's completely off in left field somewhere. You'll know if a prophetic word is not for you. And just be kind, be nice, and say thanks. But usually the prophetic word is going to stir something within you that you know God spoke to you. Come on, somebody. Ask John and Ashley. You know, I wish they were here tonight. John and Ashley, a couple years ago, doctor said, "You need to have a complete operation. You never have any more children. Just don't even think about it." And they received a prophetic word from Jeff Clark that they were going to have a baby. And a couple months later, she came in church with a smile on her face. She says, "I'm with child." What did they do? They took that prophetic word and applied it to their life. Just said, "I'm not going to listen to the official guy with the white suit, you know, with the white coat and the thing and the stethoscope and the deal and the x-rays and the medicinal things. No, I'm going to believe God." And God brought a baby when there wasn't supposed to be any baby. Applying God's word to the situation, it will come to pass. We have to stand fast in that place. B, live in expectation of fulfillment. Live in the expectation of fulfillment. Don't ever let it go. Proverbs 24:14. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off." Apply it. Live in the expectation. Say, "I'm going to receive it no matter what." And see, as the rhema receives confirmation, the seed of faith grows toward fulfillment. As you receive the confirmation, you get a rhema word from God. It's confirmed. There are always four things that I do when I receive a word from the Lord. Number one, I pray. God, is this you? Number two, I want supporting scripture for what He's told me. Are you there? Number three, I want agreement with my wife and those that I'm answering to in my life. I want agreement. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, and so I take that very seriously. And number four, I look for the fruition of that promise. Soon as I start to see a bud coming out of the thing, I say, "I'm standing on God's word. By golly, this thing's going to mature right in front of me." Notwithstanding false starts. Come on, we all get, you know, try to make things happen or whatever. Jeremiah 32, if you'll turn to Jeremiah 32. Y'all right? Everybody okay? Jeremiah 32, verse 6. I'm not hurting you or anything, am I? Man, if we'll just apply, and I'm telling you, it works. It works when we start to see these things come to pass. And of course the enemy is going to attack. You better believe he's going to attack. Do not expect it. It's not a lack of faith to say it's going to be an attack. When God's word comes, the attack comes. But we have authority and victory over it because we apply God's word, not the attack. We don't apply the enemy's attack. We apply the word of God. The enemy doesn't know anything except that we received the word from God. And he's going to try to dissuade us. And we bind the enemy. We cast him out. He has to go. Resist the devil. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And it will come to pass. Jeremiah 32, 6. And Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you saying, buy my field which is in Anatoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it.' Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours and redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anatoth, and weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed and sealed it, took witness, and weighed the money on the scales. How did Jeremiah know? Because God told him it was going to happen. If God gives you a prophetic word, hang on to that prophetic word, it will come to pass. If it's the word of the Lord, how many know? God doesn't give us a word, so he teases us. God never gives us a word and says, okay, there you are. Let's play catch. Let's play hide and seek. No. God gave you the word. He gives you the word to encourage you. And then when it comes to pass, it grows us and bonds us closer to him. Number three, pray and demand. Pray and demand. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what are we looking at? We're looking at the things not yet here, but we know they're coming. So we pray as if they're already here. A, pray the desire to the Father in the name of Jesus. And that's a promise we are desiring. He says, whatsoever you desire in prayer, you'll receive. Watch what Mark 11:24 says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, wait a minute. What is that saying? What's it saying? It's saying whatever things you ask when you pray. We don't have to go back to elementary school and say, now, don't ask anything out of the will of God. We already know that. Well, we're way beyond that now. I'm talking to brothers and sisters who served God a long time. But see, we have to apply God's word to the truth. He says that whatever we ask, we'll receive. And by golly, the enemy's not going to steal that from me. He's not going to take anything from me. That's a promise from my Father. John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You say, Pastor Rick, I've been praying for a long time and I ain't seen it yet. My short answer to you is keep praying. There's a much longer answer, but we have not got time. Keep praying. Just keep praying. Don't stop praying. Pray and cease not from praying, because God's promises. Now, if you're praying for something that's not God's will and God closed the door and told you it was closed, then shame on you. Rest in him. That's exactly right. So he says, ask me nothing, but ask the Father in my name and I'll give it to you. B, demand that the obstacles, mountains, and demons get behind me in the name of Jesus. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. You'll have obstacles and mountains. Matter of fact, when it's the word of the Lord, if there's not obstacles, mountains, and demons, go check, make sure it was the word of the Lord. If it's just something that you waltz into, it just happens to you. Once in a while, once in a great while, that happens, I imagine. But nothing ever great happened in my life without warfare. If it's different for you, then praise God. I'm just telling you that it takes rebuking, demanding that the obstacles, mountains, and demons get behind us. Isaiah 30:22, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Matthew 17:20, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you've ever held a mustard seed in your hand, that's wild that Jesus said, if you have that much faith. Hallelujah. Man, just give me mustard seed faith, God. That's all I need is mustard seed. We're praying for immense faith, and Jesus said, if you have this much faith, the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Wow. Every time I read it, I go, God, give me mustard seed faith. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, it does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen. Come on, what's it say? See, we think that it's just for those people with the wild hair on TV with the glittering thing behind them. I have a worldwide ministry because God has blessed me. No, God says that to everyone that reads it. When our eyes see it, we take that promise and we apply it to our situation. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he said that to everyone that was listening to that was physically there, was killed for their faith. So what did he mean by nothing shall by any means hurt you? Yeah? That's okay. Somebody answer me. Couldn't kill your spirit, man. Nothing will stop. Hey, we're eternal beings, man. Whatever we don't experience here, we'll experience there. When we pass over, close our eyes and walk into the next room, whatever God's got for us, that's still the fulfillment of the promise. We're not hurt. You can kill my body, but you ain't going to hurt me. I'm destined for glory. Come on, somebody. And that's what the promise is. See, John 14:12 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now watch what it says, because it's very important. When we apply it, sometimes we read it so quick that the onus, the responsibility is in our asking. But it's not. Turn there. As a matter of fact, turn there. Let's look at John 14:12. We just take a short detour here. Just a short detour. I promise. John 14:12. A good English major would say, what's the subject of these senses? John 14:12 says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Why? It's okay, say it. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's not answering because of we've got to ask, but the onus, the responsibility is on the Son glorifying the Father. If we ask, Jesus says, I'll answer because I want to glorify my Father, not answer your prayer. Come on, somebody, get a hold of this tonight. See, when we ask, number one, we're asking in God's will. But number two, Jesus said that because I'm answering, because I'm you're applying my word to your situation, I'll answer that prayer and I'll supply for you what you need. I'll supply the love you need. I'll supply the forgiveness you need. I'll supply the money you need. I'll supply the health you need. Why? That my Father may be glorified. I'm here. I'm in prayer. I'm standing with you in front of the Father. You're asking the Father in my name, and I'm saying, Father, I want to glorify you. I'll answer that prayer. And the Father is glorified in the Son. Woo! And we get the side benefit. Holy God, I like that. Now, that doesn't lessen my responsibility, but the onus, the responsibility is on the Son of God. And how many know His shoulders are big enough to handle it? Now, once we pray and we demand that the enemy get his hands, we pray and believe. Number four, confess the rhema as being done. Confess it as being done, no matter what it looks like. Mick should be up here preaching this. Genesis 17:5, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham had to confess that a long time. He never really saw it come to pass in his lifetime, but how many know? It came to pass. A, say it aloud. Call the things which are not as though they were. Romans 4:17 says, God called things into existence by calling things as not as though they were already existing. And we have our Father's faith. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it shall come to pass. You shall be saved. That's more than just for the salvation. That means that God will supply and take care of us. Come on, somebody. It's in my deepest need that I find my highest regard for God's Word. It's in my deepest need as I cry out to God. It's in my deepest need for me to receive God's Word and apply it to that need. I thank God for trials and tribulations because it's brought me to closer to God. And I've seen miraculous things, as you have, being answered. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Wow. Are you there tonight? I mean, man, that's just, I mean, he's building a strong base under us. He's building a strong base. He says, don't worry about it. Ask it. Just keep on asking till it comes to pass. I'll glorify my Father. I'll glorify my Father in heaven and answer your prayer to boot. So we say it aloud. It may, you know, don't say it in front of people that are going to take away from you, you know. Get like one of some of these weird people quoting the word in front of, you know, a crowd. They don't understand where you're coming from. Stand on God's word yourself. Get with another believer and stand and believe. Wherever two or three are gathered is touching any one thing. You know, I'm not talking about being weird about it. I'm talking about holding on to the promises like a bulldog till it comes to pass. Because my Bible says it will come to pass. So we confess the rhema as being done. Number five, believe you receive. Again, let me read Mark 11:23. If you've never marked that in your Bible, turn there with me while I read it. Mark 11:23. You should have that thing circled, highlighted, parentheses around it, arrows going off to the side. Watch what it says, Mark 11:23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I love that. Whatever. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This belief gives substance, watch, title deed to your hope. I own it. It's mine. Hebrews 11:1. Say, I believe I receive the answers to my prayers, demands, and confession in Jesus' name. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So say, I believe and I receive the answers to my prayers, demands, and confessions in Jesus' name. Until they come to pass. That's my application. I'm applying it till it comes to pass. B, if there is not a visible manifestation at this point, continue to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writing Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Believe that you receive when you get the rhema and you receive the faith. Number six, do the corresponding action. Do the corresponding action. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Do the corresponding action. James chapter 2. You should memorize this passage right here. James 2 in verse 14. Watch what it says. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24 says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Apply God's word to your situation. Don't complain and ask God to fulfill something if you're asking him to fulfill something outside of his will or outside of his word. If you know it's true, if you know it's righteous, if you know it's from God, if you've received a prophetic word, if you receive rhema, if when you're reading God's word, God says, I am telling you this now. It's for you. Receive it. See, Abraham received God's word, and for 40 years or whatever, 30 years, he didn't say anything. And then God came to remind, you know the story, I don't have to go, almost 100 years on, and God says, you're going to have a boy. It happened. So don't say, well, it's been too long, I'm too old, or it's past. It's never too late. Come on, it's never too late. It's never too late. I'll believe in God for certain things. You know, one of the things I confess before you, I like to eat. Anybody else like to eat? Yeah, I like to eat. And I got a little carried away. So I used to run a lot so I could take allowances with food because I would run it off. You know, if I could eat something I'm not supposed to, and I'd run an extra mile. Well, I can't run as far as I used to, but I have an agreement with God and the scales that I'm getting on that I'm going to be at a certain weight. Now, I can apply my faith to that all I want, but if I don't take action behind it, it's not going to happen. I love those stories, you know, so-and-so was at the, you know, at the faith meeting and their pants fell down because they lost 100 pounds immediately. I said, God, can I get in line for that one? Well, how many know I'm applying? See, I'll just be honest with you. You say anything out the room, I'll deny it. Okay, it's just for us right here. But I'm applying God's promises and taking action on his promises. If I don't do that, if I don't apply his word and act on it by works, I'm up at 4:30 in the morning and I'm doing what God told me to do, praying and exercising and keeping things away from my hands and my, because man, I like to, how many like to just nibble? Yeah, nibbling is another word for slow sin. It's what it is. God says, don't eat that whole thing. So you just take a nibble. And then you take a nibble a little bit later. And pretty soon it's all gone. You just stretch it out over time, but it still went the same place right here. Come on, somebody. Number 7, persevere with praise until you receive. Persevere with praise. Not complaining. God, what are you going to do this for Pete's sake? You told me you were going to do it. My goodness, I can't believe that you're waiting this long. You've lost it. Now you've got to repent, for God's not going to give you anything because you wavered and you doubted. Now you've got to go back and build the relationship in that area back. God, please forgive me. I really do believe. And God will put you right back where you were. He's not going to make you start at the beginning. But you've got to repent from that, can I say stupid things that we say when we're frustrated. God, I can't believe you told me. God's saying, I can't go with you there. Go ahead and go. I'll not leave you, but I can't fulfill the promise. I've got things in motion to fulfill. Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Philippians 4:6, you can read these later. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God, I don't want to make the season change. I want to reap in due season. So I'm going to believe until the timing is right in your heart. Now turn to Hebrews 6:10. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I believe it was Paul the Apostle that wrote Hebrews. Some would argue that's okay. The author of that is the Holy Spirit anyways. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I don't like that sentence. You know, I'd like to have an audience with God and say, is there another word you can put in there besides patience? You know, faith and exuberance. I can be exuberant. Or you know, faith and boldness. I can be bold. Ha, call that in Jesus' name. There it is. No, it says, watch what it says. For when God, he said that in verse 12, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How are we inheriting anything? How do you get an inheritance? That's okay. Somebody answer. How do you get an inheritance? Somebody died. Who died? Jesus. He became our testator. He died. Didn't stay dead, but he died. And when he died, he left it all to us. And then he rose from the dead so he could be the firstborn among many. He inherited the promises that he gave. And we inherit the promises. Come on, somebody. Let's just say that for a promise, it says, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, verse 14, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. One last verse, Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. There it is. Faith and confidence. Faith and patience. Faith and confidence. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What's the word say? Be patient, be confident. It will happen. So as we're believing all this, as a wonderful prophetic word tonight, things are going to happen. God's pouring out His Spirit. You can sense it in the atmosphere. Signs and wonders in the heavens all over the place. I just been reading all over the place where things are happening worldwide right now. Other countries, worldwide. Imams are getting, Muslims are getting dreams and visions. Jesus is coming to them. And they're getting saved, left and right. I mean, there is something in the atmosphere where God is revealing His glory. And it's not time to get faint and lose heart. Man, release our faith to those things. And what you're believing for in God, this is a prophetic word for you that have been listening all night. And you said, could it be that God is awakening within me the promise that happened so many years ago? I'm here to tell you, yes, this is your day that God is reminding you of the promise once again. He's gotten it out, dusted it off, and said, lest you forget, I'm giving you this promise, and it's for you today. So, Father, I pray right now, God, the many promises that you've given this group right here, God, things that we're still standing and believing for, God, we pray for that strength to continue to stand until it comes to pass. Father, and some things will come to pass before the weekend. Things will come before the weekend. They'll come to pass. There'll be testimony about it on Sunday. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the release of your word in our hearts. God, we repent from ever doubting that your word is true, God. Lord, restore us to our place as we believe and ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.